as Hawk read on, pitching his voice alternately lower and higher for the different characters. Plum listened avidly, a small smile curving his pretty lips. Chapter 9. Gazing over the assembled men, Hawk stood tall, his wound only throbbing dully now, hardly anything at all. After 3 days in his cabin reading Shakespeare, Cervantes and Marlowe aloud, while Plum listened, seemingly content. It was time to resume his duties. He'd made the odd appearance up on deck so the men didn't suspect, and now his leg was fit enough that he barely limped.
"We're docking at Nassau."
As a cheer rang up, he raised his hand.
"Only for the day to trade our cargo and resupply. We are all strictly on duty. No drinking, no whoring."
Now a grumble vibrated across the deck.
"I assure you I will provide you with all the rum you can drink tonight when we are back aboard and safely tucked away in a cove down the coast. Not just swill, either. The finest in the West Indies."
A voice whined.
"Can't we get the girls to come down to the docks at least? We won't say nothing, we swear."
Hawk bit back a sigh.
"You know damn well that those ladies are adept at ferreting out information that could be useful to sell to another crew."
More grumbling. And O'Connell, an Irishman rigger who'd proven himself sensible and brave, said,
"The captain's right. No sense in risking our ransom for a few minutes of pleasure."
Another man piped up.
"Speak for yourself. I last a damn sight longer."
There was laughter then, the current of resentment dissipating. Hawk gazed at them intently.
"We need to stay sharp. No one is to breathe a word about our hostage to anyone. No exceptions. Not a drop of alcohol. And if you dare to darken Mrs. Atherton's door to visit her girls, you will lose your share of the ransom. Understood?"
Snell called out,
"Aye, Captain."
And the others joined in, some more reluctantly than others. Hawk smiled.
"It will be worth the short-term sacrifice in the end, I promise you. Let's keep our heads on and eyes on the prize."
This roused a cheer, and he dismissed the men, turning to the bow. Snell joined him, saying,
"That rum had better be exquisite, or they'll take a vote on a new captain."
Hawk chuckled at the joke, ignoring a slither of unease. He'd kept control by being firm yet fair. But many a pirate captain had been bested by mutiny. In another fortnight, they'd have their prize and see that the sacrifices had been worth it.
"It will be Nassau's finest." "Sah, piss then. But they'll guzzle it nonetheless."
Snell squinted up at the sky.
"Clouds coming in from the north. Better find a safe harbour tonight close to Nassau. Pearl Cove, perhaps?"
"Aye. Who will watch a prisoner while we go ashore?"
A strange pang of guilt squirmed in his gut. It would be torture for Plum to be so close and unable to get solid land under his feet.
"I'll keep him locked in. Put Grady on guard duty. He's trustworthy, yes?"
"Yes, and you should relax. I can handle the trade.
Perhaps you should find an arse to give a good fucking."
"Maybe I will."
It had been ages and would do him good. Some of the men on board had each other, and in Nassau, no one gave a damn who fucked who. In the pirate world, men could be as good as married if they chose. Some even wore each other's rings and contracted together in metelletage.
"That's the spirit."
Snell clapped him on the shoulder and left him in peace. Hawk knew it likely mystified Snell and the others that he didn't bugger anyone on board. But he'd decided years ago that he'd rather his prick didn't fall off from some rotting disease, and that his own hand was sufficient. He'd been tempted at times to take up bold young men on offers of willing mouths or asses, but had instituted a rule against ever screwing a crew member. It only bred competition and hostility. Better to hold himself removed, untouchable. It hadn't even been that difficult. The last time he'd experienced the fever of true desire, he'd been little more than a boy, spending nights in a hammock with John in the stinking black belly of the HMS Leaside. He allowed himself a moment to remember John's impish grin and cowlick of fair hair falling over his forehead, the breathless intensity with which they'd kissed and touched, each exploration new and thrilling, young enough that no one paid any mind to them sharing a hammock. The memory gave way, as it always did, to flashes of cannon fire, Spaniards upon them in the dawn. It had been a bloody, hard-won battle to escape the man of war. Hawk could still hear the quartermaster's relief as he said,
"Could have been worse. Most of us are still here."
Most. John's head had nearly been taken clean off. His rosy-cheeked, dear face gone before Hawk could even understand what had happened. That John had propelled him out of harm's way. His blood had still stained Hawk's face, his hands, his lips, his very heart, when they'd put John into the sea along with a dozen other men, each wrapped in cloth. The quartermaster had spoken John's name aloud before the splash, as if he were an offering to the sea gods. Perhaps he was. Hawk had stood solemn with the others along the rail, the flag fluttering at half-mast. He'd watched the canvas entombing John bob for a few moments before sinking beneath the waves and forever into the deep. When the last body was out of sight, the men had turned back to their tasks, bustling about and getting on with it, readying the ship and themselves to do it all again when called upon. Hawk had no path but to follow, unless he wanted to dive after John. He'd been sorely tempted. In the months following, Hawk had found the pain crippling and of absolutely no benefit to him. Nights had been the hardest, alone in his hammock without the sweet nuzzle of John's kisses. And he'd told himself, never again. Over the years he'd fucked some men, but his lips never touched theirs. His hands never lingered over bare skin. He never held them close and slept as one. It had been so very long now, John only a distant speck on the horizon in Hawk's wake. Why he crowded into Hawk's mind now was a mystery. He probably didn't even remember John's face correctly. Over the years, it had surely morphed and reshaped in his memory. Yet he could still see the red crosses on the Spanish sails. With the metallic tang of John's blood in his mouth, Hawk had climbed the mast for his lookout duty and scanned the seas, eager for another battle, wishing the Spaniards would pursue them once more so he could blow them to smithereens. Perhaps it was that day his course was set to become a privateer, and now this, a lawless pirate. Shaking his head, he ducked down the ladder. Plum waited in the cabin, limbs jittery with excitement as he asked, "Do you know how long the beach is? How far it extends? If I run—"
"You won't be running."
Plum smiled, a puff of laughter escaping with a flash of white teeth.
"I told you I don't mean to escape. I am resigned to my fate as your prisoner. You threaten my sister, and I'd never endanger Susanna or her babe. Never. I will return. Or you could run alongside. No, not with your leg. Another crewman could."
Hawk could not allow himself to be swayed.
"No, you'll stay on board."
He strode to his desk and sat in his chair, taking up his quill. Plum certainly wasn't laughing now.
"But we made a bet. I won. I know you remember. Those stitches in your leg should prompt you."
"Oh, I remember. Nassau is not suitable. Far too many people. It's not possible."
"But you promised."
Unbelievably, an apology formed on Hawk's tongue, and he barely bit it back. Why should he be sorry to break an oath to his hostage? He was a pirate after all. Walter Bainbridge had seen to that. Still, he found himself saying,
"Too many people. We'll find an island soon enough. We need to make repairs thanks to that lunatic Alfred.
Somewhere uninhabited.
Big enough for you to have a run."
There, he was being reasonable. Plum shook his head, pacing, rolling his shirt sleeves past his elbows, displaying a hint of the firm, trim muscles beneath the linen.
"Can I at least go ashore, get off this ship and stretch my legs?"
"You'll stay here. You're a liar," Plum spat, creamy cheeks flushing as he paced.
While Hawk had thought him quite plain upon first glance, now he found himself drawn to Plum's face. A few times, whilst reading aloud, he'd lost his place in the text because he'd found himself watching Plum and the way he listened with his eyes closed, a dreamy smile tugging at his mouth. A few freckles on his nose caught Hawk's eye, and then Plum's tongue darted out to lick his lips.
"Why did I believe you, even for a moment?" he demanded. "Why did I think better of you because you read to me and were kind about my deficiencies?"
Hawk tore his gaze away. "I don't know, since apparently I must remind you I'm a fucking pirate." Plum's anger and hurt shouldn't have moved him. He shouldn't have wanted to live up to any expectations. Why the devil should he care? He had nothing to prove.
"Can I at least go up on deck?"
"No!"
He wanted to explain that there were too many risks, that if Plum were captured by another crew, he might be tortured or worse.
"And I won't get my ransom. That's what's really important." He sneered. "You'll survive."
He turned his attention to his tasks, going over the list of cargo to trade, and soon enough they were in Nassau. Voices rang out over the water, and Plum went to kneel by the open window, craning his neck. Hawk stood behind him, failing to keep his eyes off Plum's firm round arse. There was only a glimpse of palm trees and huts, people milling around where the beach curved.
"If you shout..."
Grumbling, Plum sighed.
"I won't."
Hawk grabbed his coat and left before he was compelled to make any more promises. Head buzzing pleasantly, Hawk left the men to their merriment in the forecastle, closing a hatch behind him in the passageway. The music and boisterous shouts faded by the stern, and the lashing wind and rain reached his ears. With a sigh, he climbed to the main deck, soaked to the skin in moments, his coat forgotten by the barrel of rum. He made his rounds, checking on the poor sods who'd drawn the night watch, promising them extra grog tomorrow. They were safely at anchor, but it was still miserable on deck. Carrying a small sack, he returned below, finally approaching his cabin. He nodded to Grady.
"Any trouble?"
"Not a peep, Captain."
"Dismissed. Go eat and have as much rum as you'd like."
Grinning, Grady passed him the key and hurried away. Hawk hesitated. It was foolish to still feel guilty, or to feel guilty whatsoever. But he hated not living up to a wager, no matter with whom it was made. He'd stayed on deck while they left Nassau and made their way to the cove, then eaten and drank too much rum with the men, Snell watching him with a raised eyebrow. He couldn't avoid it any more, and twisted the key. Plum was in his corner, curled on the blanket, either asleep or pretending to be. He'd lit one of the lanterns at some point, and it still flickered. Hawk was about to tiptoe inside when he caught himself and marched boldly, boots striking the floor.
"It's my cabin, for fuck's sake."
He dropped the sack on the floor by the corner.
"There's fruit. Mango, orange, and... a plum."
Dropping any pretense, Plum sat up and opened the rough canvas.
"Thank you."
He pulled out the mango and held it in his hands, peering at it curiously, then poking at the skin.
"Here."
Hawk took his dagger from his belt and handed it to him. Only once the brass handle was in Plum's grasp did he stop to question just what the fuck he was doing.
"This is why I should keep the one cup of rum."
But Plum only peeled the fruit before passing the weapon back. He took a tentative bite of the mango, then moaned. Juice dripped down his fingers, and his tongue darted out, licking them clean, as if he didn't want to waste a drop. Hawk spun around and started tugging at his soaked clothes, commanding himself to ignore the coiling heat in his belly. He stripped them off and stretched out naked on the bed, determined to go to sleep. It had been a long day, and he'd had to be on guard in Nassau, weighing every word,
performing, wearing his cursedly hot coat, satisfied with the whispers that followed in his wake.
There goes the Sea Hawk.
Now he could exhale and relax. Well, he would if Plum stopped making such obscene noises. Each slurp and sigh of pleasure went straight to Hawk's prick.
Too well with it.
He took himself in hand, because why the devil shouldn't he? It was his cabin, and he didn't give a fuck what his prisoner thought. Even if a glance told him his prisoner was now transfixed, the rest of the fruit abandoned in his laps, eyes locking on Hawk's stiffening rod. With his right hand tucked behind his head, Hawk spread his legs. He licked his palm with a long, slow stroke, then spit in it a few times. Lazily he worked himself to full hardness, Plum's feverish gaze boring into his skin, setting him aflame. He could only glimpse Plum's shadow from the corner of his eye in the low, guttering light of the lantern, but was certain he watched every pass of Hawk's hand over his shaft.
"Get it done and go to sleep."
Yet he couldn't ignore Plum's curious hunger. Couldn't deny himself the thrill of it, even though he knew it was madness. He'd kept himself in check for so long. More than that, it was forever since Hawk had been desired with such pure, raw honesty. Why shouldn't he have a taste of forbidden fruit? Just this once, if Plum wanted it.
Is it honesty, though? Or is he playing me like Mr. Cooper's fiddle, trying to ensure his survival?
The merry tune Cooper currently played in the forecastle as the men caroused echoed faintly through the ship beyond the din of the storm. Hawk should close his eyes, jerk himself quickly to completion, and let the distant music be his lullaby. Yet his craving would not be denied. Hawk would leave it up to Plum. Teasing back the hood from his cock, he asked,
"Does it make your prick hard to watch me?"
For the space of too many heartbeats, each faster and faster, he was afraid there would be no reply. Then, from the darkness, a breathy answer, "Yes." Relief shouldn't have sweetened his veins, but it flowed. It was unwise to play these games with his prisoner, his bounty. But really, what better revenge than deflowering Bainbridge's son? What a blow to the snake's pride that would be! And if it gave Hawk the opportunity to touch those trim muscles, to taste and explore, all the better. A slow smile lifted his lips.
"Do you want a closer look?"
On tentative feet, Plum neared, wide eyes darting between Hawk's face and his cock. Bending up his left leg with his left foot flat on the mattress, Hawk ignored the twinging from his stitches and rocked his hips, his body afire, in danger of being consumed by Plum's gaze alone, by the longing in it. If it was false, Plum belonged on the London stage. His chest rose and fell rapidly, and he licked his lips before blurting, "I want, if I should die, first I want—" He seemed to be searching for the right words before croaking, "I don't want to die like this."
"Like what?"
Hawk raked his gaze down Plum's body and up again. The shirt was hanging loosely, obscuring the tenting of his breeches. But Hawk was certain he was hard.
Oh, he ached to see that swelling cock, to behold the evidence of Plum's desire.
Plum opened and closed his mouth with a snap, and Hawk put him out of his scarlet-cheeked misery.
"A virgin?"
Sighing, Plum nodded.
"I've been too afraid."
Hawk's blood sang, a primal, possessive urge galloping through him.
"Truly, no man ever bent you. No lady slipped her hand into your breeches behind the rose bushes, or whore plied her trade."
"Never. I don't want a lady. Or a whore. Only a man. I don't know why, but it's always been like that for me."
His innocence was as intoxicating as the damn rum, and Hawk reached out his hand and crooked his finger.
Adam's apple bobbing. Plum took another step, still out of reach.
Is it? Would you rather have a woman? Or...
he whispered, eyes shining with unmistakable hope.
Are you like me? Unnatural?
It was absurd to betray any truth, yet thinking of John earlier had stirred up the memories of how it had felt to know such fear and loneliness for the crime of one's own nature. He found himself nodding. But his desire wasn't selfless, far from it. The urge to be the first to plunder that sweet, tight ass beat in Hawk like a war drum. And it was all he could do to keep himself in check. Leaving his hard prick alone for the moment, lest he embarrass himself, he caressed his nipples instead, satisfied when Plum's gaze followed his fingers. Hawk said,
"I tried a woman once. Friction took its course. But it wasn't like this."
He took hold of his shaft again, thumbing over the head.
"Do you want me to show you how it can be between two men?"
Jerking his head in a nod, Plum yanked off his clothing and tossed it aside bravely. His long, slim prick stood straight out from a nest of dark curls, bollocks heavy between his legs. Tension rippled through his lean muscles, and in the fading lamplight his flesh was golden, light brown hair scattered thinly over his chest and body. His nipples were a dusky rose, peaked without being touched.
And oh, how Hawk wanted to touch.
Plum licked his lips.
"What should I do?"
"Get the bottle of oil from the middle drawer of my desk. Then come here."
Instead of creeping hesitantly, Plum rushed to the desk and then to the bed, eyes raking Hawk up and down. Hawk put both hands behind his head and raised an eyebrow.
"Well?"
With a sharp inhalation, Plum climbed up over him. They both shuddered as their naked flesh met, and Hawk took hold of Plum's hips, tempted to plunge right up into him, but keeping himself in check.
Like this?
Plum asked, straddling him, strung tight. Surely frightened, but pressing on, at the edge of the precipice and ready to leap. His muscles quivered, excitement lighting his honey eyes, and Hawk wondered if he looked similar when he ran.
"Is this right?"
Plum gazed at Hawk with such openness, asking for guidance, trusting despite every reason he shouldn't. A little furrow appeared between Plum's brows.
"Does it work like this? Or should I be on my hands and knees? Like an animal?"
And despite every fucking reason he shouldn't, Hawk found himself opening too, enticed by Plum's innocence. He smiled up at him, running soothing hands over his tense thighs.
"It works in all sorts of ways."
Not since John had he had anyone so sweet. And as much as he would love to pummel Plum on his hands and knees, right then he'd rather ease him and sate his innocent craving. Reward that trust. They both wanted it, so why shouldn't they steal pleasure where they could? He took Plum's hand and poured oil over his fingers, the scent of coconut sweet and cloying.
"Open yourself for me."
Eagerly Plum reached behind, then tensed, a gasp on his lips.
"You won't fit,"
he blurted. Cock painfully hard. Hawk drew small circles on Plum's firm thighs with his fingertips, avidly watching the flex of Plum's muscles.
"Slowly. Have you fucked yourself like this before?"
"Yes, but it will take too long to go slowly."
Plum whimpered, eyes fluttering and mouth parting.
"Just fuck me now. Do it."
"Patience."
Aside from not wanting to tear him open, Hawk's blood roared watching him work, even though his hole and fingers were hidden from view. It made it more exciting that he couldn't see, the anticipation growing, every moan and sigh sending tinder sparks to his bollocks.
"Please, it's enough."
Plum withdrew his slick hand and leaned onto Hawk's chest. His face creased as if he were pained.
Please!
Hawk oiled his own cock, then took hold of Plum's hips and guided him onto it, the head nudging that tight opening.
Is this what you desire?
In answer, Plum closed his eyes and bravely sank down, taking in the whole head of Hawk's prick, his eyes watering as he gasped,
Ah!
A flush spread down his chest, and Hawk traced it with his fingertips, circling Plum's nipples, eliciting a shameless moan. Inch by inch, Plum lowered himself, Hawk holding his hips steady again, easing some of his weight and biting back a groan. That tight, perfect heat enclosed him, embraced him, the pressure almost too good. He couldn't remember the last time fucking had been like this. Normally he barely looked at the other man, but with Plum, he was riveted. He watched as emotions played over Plum's face. Pain, wonder, exhilaration. Such a dauntless young man, boldly taking what he desired. The heat of him gripping Hawk was exquisite, and sweat beaded on Hawk's forehead as he struggled to keep control. Had Hawk been so fearless his first time? It had been rushed and awkward and painful, though John had taken as much care as possible. Hawk was struck by the thought that he didn't want to hurt Plum, which was idiocy. He might have to kill him. His breath caught and muscles seized, and Plum opened his eyes, almost all the way impaled on Hawk's prick, trembling, a tear hovering on his lashes. Hawk should roll him over onto his hands and knees and fuck him the way he would an anonymous man on the beach in Nassau in the dead of night. Instead, he nearly reached up to wipe the tear away before it could run down Plum's red cheek. Thankfully, Plum swiped at it first, gritting his teeth as he fully seated himself, not backing off. He looked down, then up at Hawk, an incredulous, giddy smile blooming over his face.
It fits, he breathed. I have a cock inside me.
He ran his palm over Hawk's chest, leaving sparks in his wake.
I've dreamed of this for so long.
His smile flickered, brow creasing as he breathed harder, and Hawk could practically see the dogs of shame giving chase in Plum's mind.
Plum murmured, I know I shouldn't, and with you of all men, yet...
He rolled his hips experimentally.
Lord, it feels so good.
Taking a deep breath, he nodded.
I shall have this. I will not be denied.
Hawk found himself smiling, warm satisfaction flowing through him to be not only the first man to breach that untouched arse, but the one to give Plum that which he'd craved and denied himself. It filled a need in Hawk so deep he hadn't known it existed. He'd been patient, but he needed to touch. Plum's prick had flagged somewhat. Hawk poured a glug of oil into his palm and smoothed it over the shaft, gratified by the clench of Plum's arse, his long moan, and the way his cock responded almost immediately, swelling back up. Hawk stroked him and ran his right hand up and down Plum's side, then over his nipples, tweaking them, teasing.
You've imagined this before, being fucked by a man's cock?
Oh, yes.
His eyes were dark with lust, feverish and bold. Hawk took Plum's hips and thrust up sharply. Plum threw his head back, arching like a bow, crying out, little sounds falling from his open lips. A desperate, heady song. It reverberated deeply through Hawk, and he dedicated himself to seeing Plum utterly go to pieces on his prick. Trying to find just the right spot, Hawk experimented until he brushed the swollen nub perfectly, and Plum nearly snapped in half, whipping forward to lean over him.
Oh, God, that's... you're so deep.
Thighs flexing, he fucked himself, his tight arse like heaven. His hands lay flat on Hawk's chest, fingers digging in for purchase as he moved in a jerky rhythm, struggling to find that spot inside him on every stroke. He panted so prettily, sandy hair damp and curling around his forehead, honey eyes bright with discovery and lust, little whines escaping his pink mouth.
Oh, oh, yes!
The 10 points of pressure from Plum's fingers might actually bruise new dark spots amid the lines of his tattoo. But the hint of pain sent fire to Hawk's balls. Plum was wild and free on top of him, eyes shut as he fucked himself fiercely. Hawk reached up to cup his cheek, needing to see his eyes again, swallowing his own gasp when Plum looked down at him with pure pleasure and reckless abandon, fearless as he took what he wanted. Plum was supposed to be the prisoner, yet Hawk was ensnared, powerless to deny him anything. A fishing boat caught in a frigate's churning wake, swept up and only able to hold on.
Oh, oh, I need...
Plum slammed down, wincing. Hawk burned to give him that release. Plum's dripping cock was flushed a deep red, the hood pulled back. Hawk swiped a thumb over the head, then gave it a swift, commanding stroke from root to tip. On the third pass, Plum cried out, splashing Hawk's chest, his arse gripping so sweetly, eyes squeezed shut in ecstasy. As Plum trembled, Hawk fucked up into his clinging heat with powerful thrusts, unable to contain himself a moment longer. Plum's eyes shot open, a cry on his lips as another spurt of cream splattered on Hawk's chest. He clamped down, and that was all it took to unleash Hawk's release. Wildfire sweeping from bow to stern and back again as he emptied himself, their eyes locked together. Hawk barely managed to clench his jaw and choked down his shout.
"God in heaven,"
Plum muttered, head dropping, his arms going slack where he still braced himself, fingers that had dug into Hawk's flesh relaxing.
"I'd say this is more of the devil's arena,"
Hawk drawled, his attempt at a joke sounding hollow. Indeed, Plum ignored it. Hawk had to pry himself free and regain his senses. But he still held Plum's slim hips, tanned hands stark against that pale skin. Hawk's prick had begun to soften, resting inside Plum's slick, well-used hole, where he'd been the first. Unlike his typical rushed encounters, he wasn't yet ready to withdraw, instead reaching out to trace the edges of Plum's swollen rim around him. Chest rising and falling, Plum lifted his head. His glazed eyes met Hawk's, then lowered. He swallowed thickly, blinking as if he was coming back to himself after a fevered dream, and Hawk dreaded seeing guilt furrow that brow once more. Why should their desires be deemed unworthy? Because England said so? To hell with England! Hawk lifted his thumb to press over the tiny divot in Plum's chin, wondering if he'd been born with it or acquired it on some adventure, perhaps running or climbing trees. Their skin was slick with sweat where they pressed together, and Hawk was struck by the urge to roll Plum under him and cover him from head to toe. Plum swiped at his seed, only succeeding in making the mess worse, matting together the hair on Hawk's chest, tracing the edges of his tattoo.
"I'm sorry."
His fingers shook as he tried to clean it up.
"There's no shame in it."
Hawk captured Plum's wrist and drew up his hand, sucking his fingers and the musky, tangy treat laced with the lingering mango juice, as Plum watched with wide eyes.
"Nathaniel..."
His gaze snapped up to Hawk's as Hawk froze. Hoarsely he added,
"My name, it's..."
Hawk roughly lifted him off, not only his cock, but then shoved him from the bed entirely, plopping him on his feet. He swayed, and Hawk held on a few moments longer before letting go. After all, it wouldn't do to have his prize tumble over and crack his skull. Forcing a wide yawn, he leaned over and plucked Plum's linen drawers from where they'd been abandoned on the floor. With swift movements, he cleaned his prick and what he could of his chest, then tossed the sticky drawers at Plum, who was too dazed to catch them. The white cloth landed at his feet. Although his heart thumped too quickly, Hawk kept his tone even, disinterested.
"There, now you won't die a virgin."
He folded his hands behind his head and closed his eyes, willing his breathing back to normal. The ship's sway usually lulled him to sleep almost instantly on the nights he wasn't worrying over the men or other ships or weather or cargo, or being captured by the English, or French, or Spanish. His limbs were loose, and he should have been able to drop off right away. There was no reason to wonder how Plum was feeling. Sure as hell no reason to worry. No reason to soothe him. Hawk had given him what he wanted. He'd taken what he wanted, too. It had been too long since he'd lost himself in a fuck. And now he had. He'd buggered Walter Bainbridge's only son, adding another layer to his revenge. That was the end of it. Yet sleep was elusive as he listened to Plum retreat to the corner. Hawk cracked his eyes to watch him clean himself, the guttering lamp casting jerky shadows. Taking the bucket Hawk had once again allowed him, Plum splashed a bit of water on his soiled drawers, then reached behind himself, wincing. Hawk imagined how skilled Plum would grow, his nature passionate and curious. Oh, the things Hawk could teach him. Enough. This had been a one-time indulgence. He'd marked Bainbridge's heir, and even if the snake never knew, Hawk would. Nathaniel would. No, his name is only Plum. My bounty, my revenge, nothing more. Resolutely, he closed his eyes to Plum's creamy skin and spent sweaty limbs. Soon the lamp was extinguished, and all was darkness. Two words echoed in his mind. Never again. Chapter 10 I've been fucked. Well, to be accurate, Nathaniel had largely fucked himself. He'd ridden the Pirate King's massive prick the way he imagined a whore would. Wanton and desperate. Shameless. The memory tightened his bollocks, his nipples tingling, stomach swooping. Curled on the floor, awful blanket kicked aside, he admitted the truth, if only to himself.
I want to do it again. And again. And again.
He thought he'd known his body's hunger, the shape and weight of it, its sharp edges and cavernous depth. But he'd only scratched the surface. Now that he'd had a cock inside him, the itch had burrowed deeper than he'd imagined possible. It burned in every inch of him. Hawk had left to go on deck, and in the dawn light, Nathaniel poked around in nooks and crannies, opening drawers. Yet he found no mirror. The one Hawk used while shaving and trimming his shadow of a beard apparently locked up with the weapons. Nathaniel laughed at himself for wondering if he'd somehow appear different. Standing by the bed, which was less luxurious than it looked, the mattress had been surprisingly hard beneath his knees. He reached out and ran a hand over the rumpled linens. His belly swooped once more, skin flushing, even though a voice piped up to warn that he shouldn't take any satisfaction in what had happened, especially considering the kind of man Hawk was. Nathaniel's hand faltered, his smile fading, shame creeping in on schedule. It was folly to feel any kind of hurt at the way he'd been summarily dismissed. After Hawk had ejected him from the bed, he'd returned to his place in the corner, sticky with oil and seed. He'd cleaned himself, feeling sick to his stomach. Yet when he'd woken, he'd wished the seed were still inside him, that he could feel the evidence between his fingertips. even though the swollen rawness of his arse reassured him that not a moment of it had been imagined. Now guilt and silly hope seesawed inside him like the rocking of the ship on the tide. What had he thought? That fucking would change anything about his circumstances? That Hawk would hold him close like a lover? Kiss him? This was the man who'd promised to gut him if Nathaniel's father didn't pay his ransom. As much as Nathaniel tried not to dwell on that possible outcome, he couldn't expect the fact that Hawk had fucked him to change his fortunes. And yet, Hawk had been inside him. He'd been gentle and encouraging. He'd watched Nathaniel with something new in his blue eyes, an attentiveness like he'd really seen Nathaniel for the first time. He'd confessed to sharing the same nature, and it still sent a thrill through Nathaniel to know he wasn't alone. He'd felt the throb of Hawk's prick in his very core, had been filled with his seed. He'd given Hawk not only his trust, but his very self. Would Hawk still be able to kill him if the time came? Turning away from the bed, Nathaniel huffed in frustration. He knew he shouldn't make more of the fucking than it was. They weren't lovers. Hawk had taken his pleasure as most men would when offered it. That he wasn't brutal about it meant nothing. Desire pulsed through him at the idea of being mastered, and Nathaniel cursed his lust. Yet the thought remained, I want to do it again. If only he could speak to someone about it. He'd finally found a man like him. Yet he was still alone. He'd fornicated, and it was glorious. And the idea of marrying Elizabeth Davenport was more unthinkable than ever. Should he even survive? Should his father pay the ransom?
Will Hawk really kill me?
He thought of the hours and hours Hawk had read aloud for his sake, the way he'd refuted that Nathaniel was stupid, the fresh fruit he'd brought. Why these kindnesses if Hawk truly was nothing more than a cold-blooded killer? Hands jiggling, Nathaniel paced around the cabin, back, forth, to and fro, chest tight, breath short. He needed to run. To feel the ground under his feet and the wind in his ears, his mind clearing with every step, peace flowing with every inhalation, muscles burning wonderfully. Warring thoughts slithered through him, too hard to catch. Contrition, rebellion, grief, refusal. Trapped in the cursed cabin, he rushed to the windows and shoved one out, opening his mouth and breathing deep of the salty air. Spray wetting his face as the ship crested a swell and rolled down it. The water in the West Indies was a clear blue unlike any he'd ever seen, and he longed to go up on deck and look in all directions. In Nassau he'd been able to glimpse how the sand was almost white, and he ached to sink his feet into it and run for miles. Of course he'd been promised that, and Hawk had gone back on his word. Nathaniel shouldn't believe a thing he said, no matter how many books he read aloud, no matter how tender his fingers had felt tracing the spot where their bodies were still joined after coupling. The cabin door opened, and Nathaniel's foolish, foolish heart leapt. But when he turned, Hawk didn't meet his gaze. In fact, he didn't look at him at all. He simply circled his desk, boots thudding, pulled out his chair, and opened his log. He pushed up the flowing sleeves of his dark shirt, and soon the quill scratched the page. Nathaniel moved back to stand near his corner. Then he crossed the cabin to the bookshelf and stood there. Then back again, then over by the bed, and finally right in front of the desk. There was no response from Hawk. Not even a flicker of his eyes, or hesitation as he dipped his quill in the inkpot. Simply, nothing. As if Nathaniel weren't even present. As if he didn't matter at all. It shouldn't have bothered him. He shouldn't have permitted the well of pain to open and widen,
but to be made invisible again after his desires were finally known and shared was unbearable. The words escaped before he could creep back to his corner. Am I really so beneath you? The damned quill finally stilled, and Hawk peered up, not lifting his head.
If you think so.
What am I supposed to think? How can I feel anything but brought low when you won't even look at me? Hawk sat back in the chair, brows drawn tight, a sneer on his lips. The carved serpents and bird rose above his head, framing it like a dark crown.
Why the fuck should I care about how you feel?
He pushed back the chair to stand and walked toward the door.
You are a prisoner on a goddamn pirate ship. If you insist on being ashamed of taking pleasure where it can be found, that's your choice. Your fucking problem.
Nathaniel stepped to the center of the cabin, legs trembling but fists clenched. You make me feel ashamed by dismissing me thus, pretending you don't even see me. You're a hypocrite. As if speaking to a small child, condescension dripping, Hawk turned and said,
You're my prisoner, Plum. You're nothing. I fucked your virgin ass so I could take my pleasure and return you to your father defiled. There was no other meaning in it.
There, you see, defiled. Is that not designed to shame me? Your messages are mixed, sir.
Jaw clenched. Hawk barked. I'm not a gentleman. I do not owe you a thing. I am also not your fucking nursemaid here to soothe your little hurts and rock you to sleep. I am not your beloved tutor. I am not a good man.
He took a long-legged stride toward him, then another. The edge of the desk jammed into Nathaniel's buttocks as he jerked back. He braced his hands behind him, fingers scrabbling over loose paper as Hawk loomed.
You've said your legendarily kind and proper tutor taught you to wrestle. Tell me, did you yearn for him to bugger you?
The breath whooshed from Nathaniel's lungs, his head spinning. He opened and closed his mouth mutely, and then Hawk had his wrist, whipping him around and bending him over the desk, right arm twisted up behind him. The heat of Hawk's big body hovered over him, his breath gusting over Nathaniel's ear.
When he pinned you, did you want him to pull down your britches?
His hand snaked beneath Nathaniel, tugging at the buttons. Cooler air caressed his skin as his breeches and linen drawers were yanked down to his knees. Nathaniel's heart galloped. With his other hand, Hawk pressed Nathaniel's head down, the polished wood smooth against his left cheek.
Did you want him to fuck you?
He gasped, lungs burning. The word escaped. A ragged whisper.
Yes.
Hawk's fingers splayed over the side of Nathaniel's face, thumb invading his mouth. The skin was rough and calloused, and Nathaniel sucked desperately, his cock rock hard. He whimpered when Hawk withdrew his hand.
Did you even know what it was you wanted?
Hawk slid his wet thumb between Nathaniel's arse cheeks, pushing the tip into his hole. His right hand was still an iron band around Nathaniel's wrist. As Hawk stretched him with his thumb, Nathaniel's knees almost gave out.
Yes, I knew how. I saw a stallion mount a mare once, and I knew I wanted that.
Hawk groaned and mumbled something he couldn't make out, and Nathaniel went on.
I wasn't quite sure if it worked the same with men, but I...
Wanted?
He shoved his thick thumb inside. Swallowing a cry, Nathaniel answered,
Yes.
His shoulder burned, twisted arm tingling.
And now you know exactly what it is you want.
Yes,
he groaned. When Hawk pulled his thumb free and released his wrist, Nathaniel's cheeks went hot. He was bent and displayed, breeches around his knees. He should push himself up and flee. Not that he could go far. But he could tell Hawk to go straight to the devil for manipulating him this way. Yet he remained motionless, his arm still behind his back, legs spread, flushed cheek against the cool desk. He blinked at the bookcase,
the titles on the spines too far away to read even if they didn't confound him. He wanted this. To hell with his pride. To hell with worrying about his fate or Hawk's role in it. No man truly knew what tomorrow would bring. Today Nathaniel was alive, and he would get fucked as many times as he could. God, he wanted to be mounted and pounded with the power of cannon fire until his teeth rattled, until he was bruised and spent. He whimpered.
Please?
For an awful, soul-crushing moment he thought Hawk would leave him hard and aching, humiliated. Then the exotic scent of the oil they'd used the night before filled the air and fabric rustled. Nathaniel exhaled in relief, the thrilling edge of fear returning as Hawk did, his rock thick, slick with oil, pressing against Nathaniel's entrance. Fingers dug into his arse cheeks, spreading him. Nathaniel held his breath as Hawk pushed just inside, prick like steel and too big. But the knowledge that Hawk was hard for him set his head spinning with exhilaration and possibilities. Hawk clearly wanted him, despite his transparent attempts at maintaining distance. Could Nathaniel make himself valuable enough to be spared if the time came? Could the tenuous, flickering connection between them be stoked into a fire with embers that never grew cold? If he could peel away the Seahawk's defences and reach the man beneath, could there be something real? Nathaniel's hole already burned, sore and raw from the night before. But it mattered not. He wanted Hawk inside him again more than anything. The pain somehow intensified the tight pull of pleasure in his groin. Hawk took hold of his right hand where it was still folded against his lower back. Good boy. As pride swelled in Nathaniel, Hawk straightened his cramped, almost numb arm, pinning it to the desk by his head, then doing the same with his left arm. Then Hawk's heat returned as he leaned over to speak in Nathaniel's ear. Tell me, what is it you want, Plum?
Your cock, all of it.
Hawk was barely inside him.
He pushed another inch. What do you want me to do with my cock?
Nathaniel gritted his teeth. Fuck me with it, you son of a bitch! Laughter booming, Hawk thrust into the hilt, driving the air out of him like a bellows. Pain flared, but as Hawk fucked him, bollocks slapping Nathaniel's arse, the torment became exquisite. Nathaniel was well and truly pinned, by his wrists and with Hawk's prick filling him. It still didn't seem possible something so big could fit, and he was undone by it. Limbs jelly. Everything in the world narrowed to the cock stretching him. The iron grips around his wrists. The warm blasts of Hawk's grunts. Nathaniel moaned.
Oh, yes, I have yearned for this so long.
He realized some of the guttural noises he heard came from his own throat. His lips parted as he was fucked like a dog. He couldn't move even if he wanted to. And the thought only made his balls tighten. His throbbing, leaking cock was pinned against the desk, rutting against the wood as Hawk slammed into him.
Please!
He begged.
Would your good and proper tutor have given you what you needed?
Hawk punctuated his question with an extra vicious thrust.
Would he fill you with his seed?
No, only you!
Hawk leaned closer, his bulk dwarfing Nathaniel. He pulled out almost all the way, then pushed in again with shallow strokes, angling until he brushed the spot that buckled Nathaniel's knees. Sparks exploded behind his eyes, white dots appearing as he cried out. With another few strokes, Nathaniel spent, spurting and shaking, crying out loudly, pressed to the desk. Hawk began fucking him powerfully again, their skin slapping in the creaking, swaying cabin. Nathaniel groaned along with him when Hawk spilled inside. Panting in gusts over Nathaniel's neck, Hawk rested his head, lips at the top of Nathaniel's spine. Almost a kiss. Nathaniel murmured,
"Thank you."
And the twin iron grips around his wrists went slack, Hawk's thumbs stroking the reddened skin. For all his insistence that Nathaniel meant nothing, for all his bluster, he had fulfilled Nathaniel's wildest desires twice now. He knew it was unwise in the extreme to underestimate his captor, to allow himself any complacency or sense of security. Yet with Hawk still inside him, lips soft on the nape of his neck, he wondered anew where the masquerade truly ended and the man began. The man he'd glimpsed, who was capable of kindness. The man who wouldn't be able to harm him or his innocent sister. Perhaps Nathaniel was hopelessly naive, but his instincts told him Hawk wasn't the villain he purported to be. The villain he tried to be. He squeezed his arse around Hawk's prick, still deep inside him, and Hawk moaned, his hand smoothing over Nathaniel's hair. Was fucking always like this? Nathaniel had no other experiences for comparison, and surely Hawk had many. But did he always stay close afterward? His other hand was still over Nathaniel's on the desk, thumb stroking rhythmically. Nathaniel gasped when Hawk pulled out, the sudden emptiness shocking, his thighs quivering. But Hawk didn't abandon him this time, and Nathaniel's heart sang with possibility. Thick, calloused fingers gently pushed the seed back inside where it dripped from Nathaniel's tender arse.
"Only me,"
Hawk muttered, still leaning over him, lips by Nathaniel's ear. A shiver skipped down Nathaniel's spine like a stone over a pond's smooth surface.
Only you.
Chapter 11.
Oh, it's raining.
Hawk glanced up from his chart, which he had been studying uselessly for almost an hour, trying and fucking failing not to be distracted by Nathaniel.
Plum,
in the corner to his right. Rain showered the glass, and Hawk grunted. Naked from the waist up in only his breeches, the fastenings under his knees flapping, Plum rose and climbed onto the window seat. He pushed out the glass and curled his feet under him on the cushion, peering out, raindrops splattering his face. Hawk had awoken that morning with his prick achingly hard, eager for Plum's tight arse, yearning to hear his moans and soft cries, to give him pleasure. Which was the very reason he'd forced himself up before the change of watch, while Plum slept on. He'd only returned to his cabin mid-afternoon, when Snell had grumbled he was wearing holes in the deck with his agitation. Plum had been exercising his arms, pressing up his weight and balancing on his toes, his bare torso glistening with sweat. His muscles had strained, and he'd grunted as he moved up and down. Hawk had almost retreated, his prick swelling. But why shouldn't he spend the rest of the day comfortably in his cabin? Why should he be chased away by his prisoner? Or more specifically, the hunger for him? It was a mistake to have indulged it, and now he would master it. He'd sworn to himself he would not fuck Plum again, would not allow himself to be baited into it as he had the previous day. He'd been doing so well ignoring him. But then Plum had challenged him, and Hawk could admit to himself he had cause, that Hawk had wielded shame as a weapon. That spirit fired Hawk's blood. How Plum hadn't cowered and denied his own cravings, but had submitted eagerly. Hawk had lost all control and couldn't seem to regret it. But not today. He would prove he was the master not only of his prisoner, but his own urges. He would not have him. And so far he hadn't, though his prick stirred at the mere thought.
For fuck's sake.
He'd gone months with nothing but his own hand, yet now he seethed with lust.
Tupping the Plum, deflowering.